So, well, my name is Patty Canelli Sinclair, and this is my story about the Dow protest. I had just begun my, just to give you a little background, I'd just begun my freshman year on the UW campus. I was living in Liz Waters' dormitory, which was just down the street from the Commerce Building. I had arrived on campus from Lake Geneva, southeastern Wisconsin, a little conservative town, and I had been really excited to get out of there and attend the UW. So I was really primed to come to the university and study anything I wanted, to work hard. I had spent a summer as an exchange student in Italy and was really inspired by my Italian friends who seemed to have a much more rigorous course of study than we did in the United States. And so I was like kind of raring to go, like, yeah, I'm really going to be a good student. So that fall I was taking Professor George Mossy's European History class, an honors English class, a social disorganization class, and an intensive Italian class that met twice a day right across from Liz Waters. I was not part of the protest, but I lived really close to it, and I remember watching it from about a block away, not getting too close, not wanting to be involved because things were getting out of hand. And I still remember taking a picture of it with my the demonstrators and police with my little Instamatic camera, as we had back then. I think when I think of the Dow protest, I don't think of it as something that just had this major impact on my life. But I really think it was significant because of when it happened, just as I was starting college, and it was really my introduction to how the next few years at the UW were going to go. And for me, that's really the significance. It really, I don't think I realized it at the time, but that's really what, you know, from my time at UW, that's what started, you know, not only the anti-war movement and the protests, but a lot of other things. But right after the Dow protest, I think it was the next day or the next week, some students went, I don't remember if they went on strike exactly, but I know they were picketing buildings because of the protest. And I still remember not really getting any connection between why I should avoid my Italian classes at Van Hees and what that had to do with, you know, the war in Vietnam and the protest on campus. So I crossed the picket line and went into my class. But what I found, and really this is what happened from time to time over the next few years, was that classes often really weren't conducted as usual. At that point, most of the students wanted to talk. They were upset. They wanted to talk about the protest or the police or the war. They weren't interested in this case, Italian vocabulary and verbs and such. And I remember my TA, in kind of a futile attempt to stick to Italian, suggested that we have a debate on the pros and cons in the Vietnam War, but that we do it in Italian. That flopped because nobody wanted to take the pro-Vietnam side. And over the next few years, many of my classes we really weren't studying what the class was about. We were talking about the war. Much of the learning that we had really also took place outside of the classroom. But there was so much going on then that, again, I think Dow was just, for me, one of the initial things. The, you know, anti-war movement was absolutely foremost. But there were so many things going on at the same time, the civil rights movement, you know, the voting rights in the South, women's live. The first Earth Day happened a few years later in 1970, Martin Luther King and Kennedy were assassinated. I mean, everything was happening. And at the same time, and this is, I'm probably making this too personal, but my brother, my older brother, who was at the university, who I just really looked up to, was diagnosed with schizophrenia. And so he was committed, at the same time I was going through this on campus, he was committed to the mental health institute on the other side of the lake. So there were lots of things that were adding to my already stimulated and very distracted brain. I went from wearing, you know, my first month in at school, wearing, you know, wool skirts and matching sweaters, attending football games, and probably one evening flirtation with joining a sorority, to, you know, wearing used army jackets and jeans, and then, you know, becoming more and more politicized as the years went by. Not in a all-encompassing way, but it was just sort of part of what I did and what my friends did. You know, we would go to some of the anti-war protests. I think I attended civil rights teach-ins. I went on some activities during the Earth Day celebration. I went to Washington, D.C. in 1968 for a march against the war. You know, and then also somehow managed to negotiate my way through the whole drug culture on campus and managed to eke out, well, not great, but at least passing grades. Finally, in the fall of 1970, after the Sterling Hall bombing on campus, my best friend Robbie and I dropped out of college, and we bought one-way tickets to Ireland. I had really lost my focus and my way, and I was really exhausted because of all these things that had been going on. I had planned to be an Italian major, and that just didn't seem relevant, so I switched to political science, which I kind of laugh at now, but I was really tired of, you know, all the unrest on campus, the tear gas, everything, the National Guardsmen. I was just tired of not studying enough, of feeling I should be doing more, and also of worrying about my brother. One of my friends chided me that I was running away, and I agree completely, I was, and I was very happily running away. A year and a half later, after working overseas in a couple of different countries and then hitchhiking around Europe, I returned to a much calmer campus. I finished my bachelor's degree, much to my parents' relief, and then had to figure out what to do. I knew I wanted a profession of some sort, and this is where I think, again, what all these things that happen on campus kind of led me to what turned out to be my profession. I decided to go to library school, and I pursued my MLS at the UW. I got my first professional job as a librarian at the Madison Public Library, and I think what I loved about it in some ways was that it was like a little university in that all of the world's knowledge was right at my fingertips. And everything was in order. It, you know, there was no chaos in the library. There was a place for everything. I also really loved working in public service. I had kind of developed an anti-establishment attitude, and so the thought of working for private business at that time wasn't interesting. I loved working in public service and helping people find information in books and find books, music, and other materials. And I really love the fact that public libraries are for everyone. So even though I certainly didn't start out thinking that I would become a librarian, I did end up doing that. And I think it does relate to what all the things that happened on campus. I have to say, for many years, I kind of resented the fact that I didn't get the kind of education I was looking for. But when I started, but you know, that's what life is like. It always throws you some unexpected curves, and I think I came away really finding a fulfilling path. And I can't think of anything else to say. I hope this isn't too just memoirish, you know, I think Dow really for me kind of started the whole track of my career here, and I guess that's my story.
Yeah. When you mentioned that you like crossed a picket line to get to your Italian class the day after, was there any like negative emotion from the students who were sitting out their classes towards the students who didn't? Or was everyone just kind of accepting that some students went to class and some students didn't?
You know, I think there was a fair amount of peer pressure going on. Probably, I think there was more so you know, in the liberal arts classes, because that's where I think, you know, people were who were studying, you know, engineering
yeah.
or way out on the ag campus. I don't know that it really affected them as much as those of us who were, you know, in the Bascom Hill area, because that's where so much of what was going on was happening. And yeah, I think there was peer pressure. And there was also, it was scary. It was scary just going to classes and seeing National Guardsmen with rifles and running into tear gas when you weren't expecting to, sometimes in your own apartment, which happened. But yeah, I think there was at least for me, maybe I was more impressionable, but I think there's a certain amount of peer pressure.
Okay. It sounds like it was a pretty unsettling time.
Yeah, it was. It was very unsettling. Very unsettling. And you know, I look back on those years and I really think I was terribly lost. I didn't realize it at the time. It didn't occur to me to ever, you know, like, ask for help, or partly because it's such a big university. I was just one of, well, then it was only 25,000 kids, but there was nobody watching over you, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's also interesting that, you know, when my son was ready to go to college, I really steered him away from UW.
Okay.
Based on my own experiences, I thought he would do much better at a small liberal arts college, and so he did end up going to a small liberal arts college, and he had the kind of college experience I wish I had had.
That's good to hear.
What?
That's good to hear that.
Yeah.
He had a good time.
Oh, he had a great, and he didn't have to worry about any of the things that I had to deal with at the time.
Yeah.
So.